Okay, it's recording. All right. Morning, folks. We are the notes are up here. Hopefully you got them, but we're in our second week of our new series called Developing a Better Relationship with God. We will not finish this today, so kind of keep it in your Bible. And save it for next week. Lots of stuff to go over here. But let's start with a word of prayer together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for the warmth of the building. Thank you for the beautiful sunshine. And I just pray that you bless our time together today as we consider our own relationship with you. And help us, Father, all of us, not to be content with where we are spiritually, but, Lord, to have a desire to draw closer to you, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we looked at our listening to God, right? And so today we're going to be talking about talking to God. So what are we talking about here? Communication, right? The key to any relationship to build is communication. One of the things that I stress in premarital counseling or even marital counseling is the importance of communication. You have to communicate. What you know, a lot of times people think, oh, we're married. Right? I forget to tell my wife a lot of things sometimes, you know. And sometimes it's not important things. Other times it is, you know. But communication is so important to get to know each other. So, as we said last week, every time this book is opened, every time we read it, hear it, you know, God is speaking to us. So we need to make sure we listen carefully. Well, now we're going to go on the other end, and we're going to are talking to God, which of course is prayer. So prayer is an amazing provision for the Christian life. Just think about it, friends. When we read the Bible, God is talking to us. And when we pray, we are talking to God. I think sometimes we forget that. And prayers become rote. I'm not saying that we say these, you know, like the Lord's Prayer and things. But a lot of times we just, I think, or I can't speak for you, we forget who we're praying to. And it's God, you know. And so it's an amazing provision. It may be defined simply as our communicating with God through words or thoughts. Prayer doesn't have to be out loud. Prayer can be silent prayer, right? And you know, so you're not mouthing the words, but you're thinking the words. So when we reflect upon the nature and works of God and the fact that we can talk to him about everything, Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. That word careful can also be translated anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we can pray to God about anything and everything. And I know a lot of times I speak to people in counseling, and I will say to people, have you talked to God about that? And sometimes their response is, I can't talk to God about that. And I say, why not? You know, I say, he knows everything anyway. Why can't you talk to him about that? Because maybe it's something they're struggling with. You know, I can't talk to God about my stronghold. Yes, you can. You know, and we can talk to him about everything, anything. And at any time, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says what? Pray without ceasing. Okay, so we can pray anytime, anywhere. We find prayers in the Bible from a dungeon, right? From prison cells, from a whale's belly. You know, you can pray anywhere, anytime, and this should provide within us humility and awe. Right? humility. We're actually talking to God, and awe also, though, you know, the fact that I'm talking to God and I can talk to him about anything. So the Lord encourages us to pray, and he is pleased when we do. Luke 18:1, the Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint." Okay, so don't faint, you know, don't give up, don't, you know, is, don't what?
Lose heart.
Yeah, don't lose heart. Is prayer difficult? It is. Because what is it hard to do sometimes? Pay attention, right? Even when you're praying by yourself. You know, I don't know about you, but I can unfortunately have more than one thought in my mind. And you know, and there have been times when I've had to, you know, like in reading my Bible, I've had to stop and say, okay, I don't know what I just read. And I have to start all over again. And you know, because I want to hear God. And I want to pray with him like I'm paying attention, you know. You ever talk to somebody and you know they're not listening? Or their heart is, you know, somewhere else. And, you know, like, I mean, that happened a lot with our kids when we were growing up. And you'd have to go, you know, hey, look at me, you know. So, talking to God. What are the forms of prayer, okay? Our prayers may assume any form of communication like thanksgiving. What does it mean? You know, what should we thank God for? Everything, right? How often should we thank God? Just in November?
Always,
right? So our prayers can assume any form of communication like thanksgiving. And then also praise. What's the difference between thanksgiving and praise? Okay, exactly. For who he is and what he does. Thanksgiving is, you know, for the things he does specifically for us. But, you know, when we think about praise, we're thinking more about what who he is, right, and how that affects us. Prayer can take on the form of confession, okay? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins. And you know, one of the things we need to do, you know, before we even ask God to forgive us our sin, is to confess it, you know. And what does confess mean? To say the same thing. You know, if I know that I have sinned, you know, I have to confess it to God, ask him to forgive me, and then he does, okay? Petition. What is a petition?
A request.
What'd you say, Sandy? A request, and you said asking, right? It's a petition, and this usually has to do with us, right? A petition for us. We're asking for something, but intercession. What is intercession? Right, praying for someone else, on behalf of someone else. A lot of times we'll pray for so-and-so salvation or so-and-so sickness or whatever. So intercession, that is vital, because, you know, friends, we have the privilege to pray for other people, and some of these people we know, they don't pray, you know. So it's very important for us to intercede on behalf of others. Number six, kind of go along together, reliance and dependence, right? Pray that we would depend on God. You know, Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation.
Giving it to the Lord.
I'm depending on you. I'm relying on you, you know. And what about prayers of submission? When would that come into play? Right. So something God wants us to do, we find out what his will is in the word. What was that?
Looking for direction
and how, you know, how to be submissive. I want to, you know, Jesus' prayer in the garden, nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will, right? Submission. That's a big one, okay? questions. Is it wrong to question God?
Depends which way.
No, I mean, that's true. I mean, but let's just assume everything's right. You know, is it wrong to question God? No. I mean, look at the Psalms, you know. Why do the heathen rage? Or, you know, why are the unrighteous living a life like they have no problems, and why do the righteous suffer? Lots of questions. God is not afraid of our questions. Now, again, our attitude, I could tell my boys to do something and they turn around and say, why? That's a question. But it's, you know, because I told you so. I mean, that's, you know, but seriously, you know, you can question God. And then, of course, expressions of salvational faith. You know, that's the first prayer that God hears of us. You know, Lord, save me. Okay? So, I mean, there are many other things we could probably, you know, make a longer list on types of prayer. But this is some of the types of prayer that we have. Basically, we can talk to God about anything. Okay? Look at Psalm 139. Wonderful psalm. Verse 1. It's a psalm of David. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. What is David saying in these two verses? Right. You know all about me, Lord. You know where I'm going, where I'm coming from. You know, you've searched me. You know me. Okay? Verse 3. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Okay? And here's something, you know, remember I told you a lot of times when I'm counseling people, they say, I can't tell God that. Verse 3. God is acquainted with all of this. Okay? For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. So we see all kinds of forms of prayer in just these six verses. We can go on, you know, but he even asked questions. Verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I go from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. I make my bed in hell below. Behold, thou art there. So, you know, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, and I always, I have a very good friend that we went to church with before I was in the ministry. His name was Andy Galvin, and he was saved in a submarine in the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. And this is his life verse, you know, this passage, because he just so happened to be an unbeliever in a submarine, and this particular submarine had a good chaplain on it, and boy, you can't get away from him in a submarine, huh? And but he was saved in the depths of the sea, you know, and so we could talk to God about anything. Why is that? Because he knows everything about us, Psalm 139, okay? So any question on Roman numeral 1, forms of prayer?
I'm glad God made us parents, some of us, because we know when we see our child doing something wrong, if they talk to us about it before, we have to talk to them. It's a better situation.
Sure, yeah.
So not only can we talk to God about it, we really want to, because if God talks to us about it first, it's probably going to be painful.
Yep. Yep, and you know, even if you read something in his word and you didn't know that it was wrong, but now you do, you know, Lord, help me. You know, this is unfortunately a habit, or help me with this, you know. And
when it comes to questioning God, can't that also turn into doubt? Like someone that, you know, is like a follower or believer and starts questioning God. And then that could turn into doubt because
it could.
Not being answered.
It could, but, you know, just think about, Christy brought up the parent-child. You're not a parent yet, but, you know, a lot of times they ask questions, and it's not... not like, are we there yet type questions, but, you know, sometimes they have serious questions, you know, how is this, why is this, you know, and you can ask those questions to God. I guess to answer your question fully, a lot of our questions brought to God could be a form of doubt, but, you know, Lord, help me with this doubt, you know, I'm doubting you here, help me, you know, and, you know, because again, God knows you're doubting. So tell him these things. And you know, a lot of times people think, again, for some reason they can't talk to God about anything, and you can. Okay?
Yeah, when we doubt, it gives clarity.
Yep. Okay, so forms of prayer. Number two, the addressees of prayer. As children, we can address the Father. Look at Matthew 6. And verse 9. Now this is the Lord's Prayer. It's kind of a model prayer. It's not. Don't think of it as like. Although there's nothing wrong with repeating this prayer because it's Scripture, but you know, don't think of it as the type of prayer that you have to repeat. And don't only think of it either as an outline, you know, oh, we have to start with praising God and that, you know, but it is kind of a model prayer. And after this matter, he says, therefore pray ye, what's the next two words? Our Father, which art in heaven. So one of the things that Jesus came and talked about, one of the things that he shared with his disciples that was kind of new to the people was God being our Father, okay? And as our Father, that then assumes we take the relationship of the child, right? So what does a father do for his child? Hears him, provides for him, loves him, disciplines him, you know, encourages him, so he's our Father. So we have that relationship. So when we pray to God as our Father, we're coming to him as dependent children, okay? As dependent children. Any questions on that? Okay, as servants, we can address the Lord Jesus, our Master. Look at Acts 7. Acts 7, verse 59. Long chapter. This is Stephen. And Stephen says in verse 59, and they stoned Stephen. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, what's the next two words? Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And he, when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, there are some people who believe that prayer should only be addressed to the Father, period. Okay? And I often take them to this verse and say, but what about this, you know? And, here is Stephen praying to the Lord Jesus. Look at Hebrews 4. Verse 14. For we have not a high priest, verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, according to this verse, especially verse 15, all right, what did Jesus experience?
Infirmities.
And what else? He was tempted, right? So when we are tempted, you know, and yet he was without sin. We are tempted, you know. I think this verse encourages us to pray to the Lord, to ask him to help us with our own temptation. Okay? Look at chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make his intercession for them. Now, there's a lot in this verse, but, you know, we come to God by him, and he even intercedes for us, okay? And and then, of course, one of the, not the last verse of the Bible, but the next to the last verse, John says, even so come, Lord Jesus, okay? So, as servants, we can pray to the Lord Jesus, our Master. Okay? Any questions so far? All right.
On the flip side of that, too, you know, and I'm not saying it's wrong to pray to Jesus, but I'm saying that Jesus said,
right. Hold that thought. We're going to get there in D. Okay. Hold that thought. As vessels, we can address our resident helper, the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Communion. That has to do with fellowship, right? So, as vessels, we can address our resident helper, the Holy Spirit. And you know, when do we need the Holy Spirit? Okay, we're going to see that in a minute in 1 Corinthians 3. But look at Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 26 and 27 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So we already saw that Jesus is interceding for us. Who else is interceding for us? The Spirit. Who dwells within us? The Spirit of God. He helps with our infirmities. Right? So, Lord, you know, Spirit, help me. Okay? And here's a real important one, especially based on what we learned last week. Colossians 3, verse 9, says, 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, my bad. I think that's a wrong reference.
Very easy to confuse.
I'm very easy to confuse, too, because I think... It should be 2, not 3. That's 1 Corinthians 2, not 3. Although that's a great passage too. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Okay? So there's things that man teach us. And we don't need the Spirit of God for that, right? I went to school to learn how to be an auto mechanic, right? And I was an auto mechanic for the first, you know, however many years of my life before I went into the ministry. And you know, that's man's wisdom. That's man's things, you know. But when it comes to the Bible, who do we need to help us understand it? The Spirit of God, you know. So Spirit, help me to understand this, okay? So look at Ephesians 2, and then we'll open it up to some questions. Yes, sir. I don't mind.
I'm reading through this, and a lot of places the Spirit is capitalized, and some places it's lowercase.
Okay. In 1 Corinthians 3? Of the world. I would think so. 'Cause verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Spirit searches all things. Spirit of man, say the spirit of man, that's lowercase. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, lowercase, but the Spirit which is of God. Now the only thing I could possibly say that is, Andy, is when our spirit comes to life. You know what I'm saying? The Spirit which is of God. You know. Or it's a typo, one of the two. You understand what I'm saying? Like our spirit that is made alive. I have not, to be honest with you, I did not pick up on that, you know, in this study. So let me write a note, though. Okay.
Quite a few things that are capitalized.
Well, if you get a newer translation, New King James, things like that, the personal pronouns for God will be capitalized. The King James, back in 1611, that was not the rule of grammar, you know. So, all of the personal pronouns are not capitalized, you know, for when it's talking about God, you know.
Well, like when I found the word "sees," that was capitalized.
Yeah. So.
It looks like here the Spirit is capitalized, but it's referring to God more than.
So. And. The last thing to look at here, letter D, we approach the Father through the mediating sacrifice and intercession of the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So it's obvious that the Trinity is active in our prayer, you know, and you know, We Jesus said, you know, we should ask the Father. Well, what do we ask the Father for? You know, things that that a child would ask a father for, you know, and you know, we things we're thankful for. But I think at the same time, there are certain occasions that we can pray to the Lord Jesus, that we can pray to the Spirit. Certain occasions. This by no means, you know, I don't think this by any means is going against, you know, what the Lord says, you know, our Father who art in heaven, okay? You know, all three are members of the Godhead. All three are active in our prayer life. But I, you know, when I pray publicly, I pray to the Father, you know, and I pray in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, that's what he asks. But, you know, who was Peter looking at when he was drowning? And what did he say? Lord, save me. You know, so, you know, I have a very dear friend. I won't mention his name because he might be listening, but he is against any prayer to anybody other than the Father. But, you know, any other questions on this? Thoughts on this? Yeah.
The name of Jesus is exalted. It is in the name of Jesus we pray.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, I think we should pray in Jesus' name, not just in your name. Yeah. You know, and sometimes people will say, you know, they're praying to the Father and, you know, we pray in the name of your Son. That's, I don't parse things. I mean, who is the Son? Jesus is, you know, but, matter of fact, in the front of your bulletins, we were listening to a message yesterday by Alistair Beggs, and he said something for your son's sake, I think. But you know, but we heard him pray that prayer, and it just touched both of us. What a great prayer! Three little lines, but you know, you know, I think once we develop this relationship with God, and at certain times we know who we should be speaking to, you know, we know who we should be speaking to. I mean, and if you, Lord, send your Spirit to help me understand this, that's, you know. Right, yeah. All right. Good, bad,
clear as mud.
Okay. Very good. All right. Some rules about prayer. There are no rules for posture, place, time of day, or length of our prayers, right? Posture. What do we mean by posture? Right. I mean, can we find, we find people standing with hands raised, right? We find people can't lift up their head and beating on, you know. We find people face down. We find people kneeling. We find people behind pulpits. We find, you know, so posture, you know. There's no rules for posture. There's no rules for place. Again, we've seen prayer from the belly of a whale to dungeons to lion's den to walking on the water, you know, time of day. Pray without ceasing, right? Daniel prayed morning, noon, and night, right? And so there's no time of day. And length of our prayers. You know, we have very long prayers recorded. I just a couple of days ago read Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. You know, it's a long chapter in 1 Kings. I think it's chapter 8. And most of it is a prayer. Nehemiah's prayer was long. But Jesus, but Peter said, Lord, save me. You know, three words, you know. And so Dr. Ron Comfort once came and preached at our church, and he said, this is a rule he makes. He says, public prayer should be short and private prayer should be long. You know, that was just his motto, you know. And by short, he didn't mean, you know, thanks, Lord. You know what I'm saying. But, you know, yes, some people, you know, but there's nothing that says that. There are some things Jesus warns about prayer that we shouldn't do. And what is that? Pharisaical prayer, right? Prayer to be seen. Ooh, look at this guy, you know. Prayers to be seen. A vain repetition, right? I can't help but think, you know, certain people, Roman Catholics, you know, praying the rosary, vain repetition, you know. And even the Lord's Prayer can become vain repetition if it's just said for rote, right? I mean, I grew up in a Methodist church, and in the prayer, you know, the pastor would be praying, and he would always say this, and Lord, teach us to pray as thou taught thy disciples, and the whole church, that's our key, vroom, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, you know. And then somewhere during the service, we would say the Apostles' Creed. You know, it was a very, I guess you could say, liturgical type service, you know. And is there anything wrong with the Lord's Prayer? Of course not, you know. But we can say things and just, you know, repeat them and repeat them and repeat them, you know. I remember I went to a preschool, and it was a preschool in a church, and I will never forget the grace that they taught us to say. I still know it. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for this food. Amen. And I mean, you know, and for the longest time, that's what, you know, and Sandy grew up Catholic, and her family would always say, blessed art thou, O Lord, these thy gifts which we are about to receive from thy bounty, or something like that, you know, and then, and it's just vain. We got to be careful of vain repetition. Okay, prayers from the heart. We don't need fancy heavenly language. I mean, we do have to remember who we're addressing. You know, we can come boldly, but that doesn't mean arrogantly. You know, so that no rules in that aspect. We must pray in Jesus' name. Now let's read this and then discuss. Well, what does it mean? Is it just tacking Jesus' name at the end of a prayer? John 14, verse 13 says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay, what is the key phrase in those two verses that give us a hint of what it means to pray in Jesus' name? No, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, right? So these are, as we're praying, as we're asking, we want to pray and ask for things that bring what? Glory to God. And things that bring glory to God, he will answer, okay? And we pray in Jesus' name. Okay. Why do we pray in Jesus' name? Well, we learn from the book of Hebrews that he is our great high priest, right? He is our intercessor. He is the one who stands between us and God. He's the one who's opened up the way. So to pray in Jesus' name is to pray in everything that he has accomplished for us. Okay? And to know that. So I have access. It's not just, although I believe we need to pray in Jesus' name, it's not just a formula to tack on the end of the prayer to make it automatically A, right, B, answered, okay? We're praying with this knowledge in our head that I have access to God because of what Jesus has done. Hebrews. He's my great high priest. He's my intercessor. Okay? So I can come to him. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's opened up the throne of grace for me. Okay? And I want to bring glory to him. So we begin, what begins to happen, remember, we're developing a relationship with God, right? And what begins to happen? We begin to know each other, and we begin to know what God's will is. We begin to know what to pray for, you know. Lord, send me a Mercedes-Benz. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Lord, you know that I live in, and we need transportation here, and I have no transportation now. Would you understand the difference in this stuff? So, you know.
It's like these are pages. It takes us to the door of the throne.
Right.
Opens the door.
Right.
Introduces us.
Yeah.
There you go. Ask them.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So we're going to stop here, but we're going to pick up again here next week because this is too important, you know. But understanding what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Let's pray and then see if there's any last minute questions. Father, thank you for all you do for us. Thank you for this time in your word. And Lord, help us to understand the importance of prayer. Just as reading your word is important for us to hear from you, praying is important for you to hear from us because, Lord, you desire that men ought to pray and not faint, and it is your desire to hear from us. So help us, Lord, to learn to pray. And as your disciples said, teach us to pray. Also, Lord, teach us to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.